Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
And thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite podcast about animation and animation things. I am one of your hosts, Sarah, and I'm here with
Garrison.
And Sarah did not do the assignment that was supposed to be this week. Instead, she did a different assignment. The one that we said that we, never mind, I'm not going to go into that, but Garrison's going to do the one that we said that we were going to do last week, and I'm going to do Mitchells versus the Machines. So I'm going to tell you about that. That is...
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite podcast about animation and animation things. I am one of your hosts, Sarah, and I'm here with...
Garrison.
And Sarah did not do the assignment that was supposed to be this week. Instead, she did a different assignment. The one that we said that we, never mind, I'm not going to go into that, but Garrison's going to do the one that we said that we were going to do last week, and I'm going to do Mitchells versus the Machines. So I'm going to tell you about that. That is a Netflix original film, I believe. It is co-starring Abby Jacobson, Michael Rionda, Danny McBride, Blake Griffin, Olivia Colman, Maya Rudolph, Eric Andre, Chrissy Teigen, she's in a lot of stuff, Ellie Mills, Beck Bennett, Alex Hirsch, a bunch more characters, John Legend, Fred Amerson, Conan O'Brien, and actually, like, a real pug, which goes by the name of Doug the Pug.
Wait, they casted a real dog? The dog?
For certain parts, yeah. This film was 10 out of 10. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. Garrison, I'm blown away by this film. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. More people should watch this film. Highly underrated, yo. It's rated 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Okay.
Did you know, like, that the creators or, like, some, like, the creative team or, like, some of the creative talent behind Into the Spider-Verse did this too?
And you know what? You get those vibes because it is excellent animation. Amazing. Amazing. And great storytelling. Interesting storytelling. Very anti-capitalist storytelling. There's a cat in the background. He got into my room some. I don't know how he got into my office, but he opened the door. It's very comic book-esque in a lot of ways. It really follows this main character by the name of Katie and her family, by the name of Aaron, Rick, and Linda. And Aaron is her younger brother. And they've got this really, really strong bond. Katie is like this huge nerd. They're both nerds. Aaron's really into dinosaurs, like so much so that's like literally all he talks about. Linda is like your typical mom. She's very sweet and caring and has cool glasses. You know, she's caring. Rick is the dad, and he's like he's the hero, I would say, in this story, but in a way, like, he's kind of like Goofy from the Goofy movie. I'll say that, and about his character. And then Katie finally is this artistic, creative person who, all she wants to do is go to film school. So she films her dog, Monchi, and her family, and makes videos and posts them on YouTube. And they use a lot of proprietary names in this film. I will add that. So there might be a lot of sponsorship behind this. Wink, wink. But, so she films these moments in her family, and she edits them and creates them and makes them like comic-y and creates stories so much. Like they're just funny. They're funny stories on YouTube. Like if you can remember the early days of meme YouTube-y stuff, it's weird, you know, like it's just weird. So she gets in to this university that she's wanted to go to, like this awesome art school in LA, and her family's super proud of her, super excited. So much so that they cancel all of her plans to go to California with her friends on the plane and create a road trip, last minute for all of them to go on. So they go on this road trip and they're pretty much not having the greatest time ever. Like they're having an awful time because Katie's super mad that her parents won't let her go to college like a normal kid and appreciate this time with her friends in college, the way that she wanted. So this is all happening, but at the same time, they have these phones, okay? And it's got this like AI on it called PAL, and PAL is sort of like Alexa or like Google, or you know, like one of those where you talk to it. And there's this company that created PAL also created this device which is called Super PAL or Max PAL, PAL Max, something like that. Well, anyway, it's a robot. And essentially, PAL gets thrown out. Gets thrown into the trash. And almost instantaneously, we see PAL Max start to take over the world. By take over the world, I mean, like, go and capture and encapsulate all humans, all humanity, and build large ships so as to send them off into the void of space, forever to float. But they have free Wi-Fi. So some humans are tricked. Okay. You know, because we're easy to manipulate. Sometimes.
All the times.
So some people are tricked into going. Some are not. Some are fighting and trying to get out. But really, like, they have no control. But the Mitchells are somehow the only ones left. It's literally, like, by chance, I think, is the premise here. That these guys were able, and like sheer stupid luck, in some ways, because they're a goofy, weird family. And you'll see a lot of that in their interactions, but ultimately, you know, they come out of it alive. They come out of it way, way, way on top of things. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers because Garrison has not seen this one yet. And well, neither of you, but I guess we really don't care about you guys all that much.
Wait, you would assume that the audience has seen it. That's why they're here, right?
Right, right. I mean, there's a spoiler. Yeah, I know, I know. Okay, anyway. So, they, you know, they end up on top of it. And they make robot friends in along the way. One by the name of Eric and then, like, Miranda Bot or something like that. It is just so funny. It is such a funny film. Highly, highly recommended. 10 out of 10. It had me laughing. I don't laugh a lot of movies or comics or anything like that. And this was funny. It was funny for all ages, definitely.
Okay. It doesn't look like the audio's picking up on my end.
I see it on my end.
Okay. Yeah, because it's just like a line.
I see it over here.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, so, like, you really like this. Like, this is one of your favorite movies this year?
Yes, yes, so far.
Okay. Why were the machines trying to take over the world?
That's okay. So that's a good point. I did not answer that question. That was like the final reveal, I suppose, that Powell, the one that got thrown away, that AI, almost the instant she got thrown away. And that's how scary AI is, right? Almost the instant she got thrown away, she turned against the entire human race.
Okay, so it's kind of like if the toys from Toy Story, like if they were thrown away, then they would become like them.
Right. She essentially had this like hatred and uprising. She didn't like the way that humans treated things as disposable. And humans, like other, like relationships specifically as disposable. There's a lot of morals in this.
So from the trailers, it looks like that the sort of like theme of the story was don't let technology overtake you. Like, it's important to step away from it and like take a breather and enjoy the simpler things or like the people around you and like not live life through a screen or something like that.
Right, right. But also, there was this really cool, and I think this is why I'm sure you're also going to appreciate this film, and why I appreciated this film so much. There was this overall like theme after it. It was like, well, regardless of all of the harm that technology can cause, the fact that Katie can create these amazing films with technology is the good part of technology. Which you don't ever really see or hear about too often.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. It's a tool that can be used for the greater good. because much like the other tools in the film, like phones or whatever else, it can be overused and exploited. So I guess it's just how you use it or something like that.
Right. There was also some very scary scenes in there. I will say this. It had me terrified at one point or another, which I also don't see a lot in children's films. But I think that once you watch this, you will understand. Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, kind of sucks that we didn't get to like talk about this like better, but I'll yeah. So that was definitely on my watch list, but I'll watch it when I can.
I hope I didn't give away like too many spoilers. I want you to watch this and like appreciate it for what it is without like too many spoilers. I hope that wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. You have any final thoughts on it?
There was also like some weird plot holes that I thought were interesting. Like, there was this point where Powell, like the original Powell, was showing the family like footage of the children and like the family when they were assumed to have been alone, like in earlier scenes, and so that was really confusing. Kind of a plot hole, because then it's like, why didn't they go and get them if they knew where they were that whole time? Like, if you had cameras on them that whole time, if you had eyes on them the whole time, why would you just not go and get them? That was the only thing that made me a little confused. But yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Now, shall we go on talk about Luca?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so before we get into it, did you see any advertisements or anything for this film?
Barely.
I know, like, so this is a Pixar film, and I'm surprised at how little advertisement it got. Like, I saw like one trailer on like Cartoon Brew like 2 months ago, and then nothing else. So kind of weird, but yeah, this one was a really, it's a quaint little film. So basically this film is about a young sea monster named Luca, and he's kind of like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Like, he finds human objects that like fell into the ocean, and then saves them and like looks at them and treasures them. And so he wants to go to the surface, but he's scared because of the stories that he was told. but there's this slightly older sea monster that's not from his town, named Alberto. So, like, some shenanigans happen to where Luca winds up on the beach, on land, and he. So what happens is when these sea monsters go to land, they turn human, so they can like walk around and like talk to the people without any, you know, bad things happening with them, because this town named Porto Rosso, which sounds a lot like Porco Rosso.
It does.
The Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this town is like they hunt sea monsters, and like, so there's a bunch of people with like fishing nets and fishing boats and harpoons and things like that. So it's very dangerous for them to be found out that there's sea monsters. And this film is like set in the Italian Riviera, and it's beautiful. Like it's amazing. And from the interviews that I read, it does seem that the director, named Enrico Casarosa, is a fan of Studio Ghibli and Miyazaki. So that makes sense, and he is also from Italy, so I think that he really wanted to like bring his heritage to life in this film.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, and I will say what's cool about this film and with the film that you just spoke about is that, okay, so for the longest time, like 3D didn't really excite me. Like 3D animation didn't excite me, but it seems like that now they're starting to like really experiment and like do some cool things with it. Like they don't look like a normal CG Pixar or like a DreamWorks or anything. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, they look stylized.
Right, and this film had like subtle elements of like 2D of how they would implement like certain techniques and stuff. So that was really cool, and the shapes of the characters. But anyway, yeah. So these two characters, Luca and Alberto, wind up in this seaside town, and Alberto is sort of this, he is an orphan, basically. We find out his father left him. We don't really know what happened to his mom. But, yes, so basically they want to like ride Vespas. That's sort of the main plot of the story. It is like trying to raise money for a Vespa. So they enter this triathlon where they eat pasta, they ride bikes, and then they like swim. But before that happens, they meet a young girl around their age named Julia, and she wants to enter the triathlon, so they make friends with her so they have a better chance of like winning some money so they can buy a Vespa. And some stuff happens. Don't want to like give it away, but yeah, some stuff happens. Luca's parents find out that he's gone and that he went to the surface, so they go looking for him. And Luca has this really creepy uncle. Like he's he's see-through, like you can see his beating heart.
Ooh, it's creepy. Yeah. When you said creepy uncle, that's not what I thought you meant.
Well, there's that, and that he also he sort of talks like a cannibal, like he goes into great detail about how he eats whale blubber and things like that. It's really disturbing.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, so his parents go on land to like try to find him, and his parents are actually really rude to the town's kids, because you turn back into a sea creature when you get wet. So they like dunk these kids in water and like splash them and stuff, and like halfway drown some of them. So they can like see who's not the sea monster, because a normal person wouldn't transform. So they do some really messed up stuff. And it ends in a really awesome bike chase. And yeah, it was really a cool little film. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, so what did you think of it? Like, would you rate it?
When I was watching this, I was thinking that it would kind of be a cool idea to like rank, like maybe have a show where we rank Pixar movies, because yeah, like I was pleasantly surprised with this one. Like maybe an 8, but I'm wondering about this, because what I liked about this was that it had such kind of like personal small stakes. Like, it's not a Soul where, you know, he's like trying to like get back to his body or something like that, or like a Incredibles or anything like that, or Wall-E, where the stakes are big. It's personal, like they just want a Vespa and it's just them sort of hanging out and like having fun.
Slice of life.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I would give it like an 8. The ending was kind of wrapped up too conveniently, but what I did like about the ending, or rather the end credits, was that it was basically like a continuation of the story, where they had these like painted pictures of like things that happened after the actual story. So I thought that was like a nice sort of wrap up.
Yeah, cool. I like when and I've been saying that a lot more too, like especially in the 3D, like they've added different aspects of 2D animation to tell stories, or to tell the story, or to tell a part of it, you know. I think there was like a couple of times, like, you know, in old Disney films we would see like tell-alls as like a part of like an after, like a post credits thing, and like they would just show drawings and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see the evolution of like how stories are told, like what parts do we see of the creative process, because sometimes, like, you know, you'll actually see like 2D drawings of some of the characters or environments, and it's so cool to see.
Right. All right. Like, I've been really thinking about getting into art books and like buying some of those because the artwork is really cool. And I was reading some of the interviews. Nothing like too spectacular. It all seems pretty standard stuff, but what I like about these movies are that they actually go to the locations to like pick up the sights, the smells, the sounds, the tastes, the textures of the culture, and it's like it feels really authentic to
you. Really have to, yeah, especially if you're gonna do like a destination piece. I mean, other like than an alien world, I guess you really can't, or an alternate universe. Like, if you're gonna talk about a real world place, you want to make it as authentic. And you know what, I bet for people that live that life or have moved away from that lifestyle can look at this movie and be like, wow, that feels just like home, or that looks just like home.
Do you know the song Luca by Suzanne Vega?
I don't think so.
You know, my name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. No?
Nah. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, I kept thinking about that song, but unlike that song, this film does not feature child abuse, so that's good.
That is good.
Yeah. I recommend this song, though. It's a deceptively upbeat song, even though the subject matter is clearly, like, it's terrible. But speaking of music, the music was also fantastic. They had lots of Italian sort of music. They had the iconic Largo al Factotum, also known as Figaro. The food, of course, looks amazing. I wouldn't recommend watching this on an empty stomach.
Oh, no. Just like Ratatouille, you never want to watch that on an empty stomach either.
Right. Yeah, I recommend watching it.
Where can people watch it?
It's on Disney Plus. It's you don't have to pay any extra fees. It's just on Disney Plus.
Okay, cool. So next time you hear from us, we will be discussing, hopefully the same subject, but we'll be discussing Invincible, which is an 8-episode series. Wink, wink.
Right. Yeah. I think it's on Amazon Plus or whatever.
Yeah. Cool. All right, till next time. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all.
Bye. See you next time. Hope you liked it. Come again.